right, this is day three of RoboTaxi launch. All right, we'll get into this RoboTaxi. All right, so before getting into this RoboTaxi, I discovered in the app, you can actually control a few things before getting in. So you tap a button and the RoboTaxi will whistle. So you can, it helps you find where the RoboTaxi is. You tap another button and it will flash the headlights. You can see, find your RoboTaxi. And then there's another button to open the trunk and another button to lock and unlock the car. I'm guessing probably, you know, some of those things will adapt and change over time. And yeah, they might have it where over time, like you have to unlock the car from the app, or it unlocks it automatically as you get near or something, so that strangers, other people don't just like sabotage and take over your, or take your car, you know, before you can get it. So one of the questions people have is exactly what does the Tesla safety monitor do inside the car? I mean, what are the controls available to him? We know at least on the front screen, you've got a few buttons here. One says pull over, one says like stop in lane, and then call support. But the question is like, are they able to do other things besides those buttons? Some people have speculated that there's something like on the right handle, and maybe they pull a trigger or something, maybe that stops the car, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if just braking the car would be, you know, enough of a kind of a safety provision, or if, you know, that alerts like some type of extra monitoring from support, or yeah, it's unclear to me exactly what the Tesla monitor has access to. And Tesla isn't sharing much, and the Tesla monitors aren't allowed to speak regarding any questions. So I think in the coming days, we'll find out. My guess is probably Elon or someone from the Tesla AI team might share some more details, but yeah, it's gonna be interesting. All right, we're almost at our destination here. This is our first destination of the day. Let's see where RoboTaxi drops me off. Okay. All right, so my second ride of the day is going to be a Waymo. Let's check it out.
Heading to 1701 South Congress Avenue. Please make sure your seatbelt is fastened. For any questions, press the call support button to speak with a rider support agent.
All right, so yeah, I wanted to just mix up kind of the rides today. Tesla RoboTaxi, Waymo, maybe back and forth. We'll see how I feel. But yeah, yesterday I took my first Waymo. This is a second Waymo, so I feel much more comfortable in it, much more used to the experience. Waymo and Tesla, the experience is very similar. You know, you just kind of hail the car and just get in the car and sit back, you know? And both are very comfortable experiences so far. I find that the Waymo, I mean, I need to ride it more, but I feel like sometimes it speeds a little bit faster in some situations than a human would. There's some little hesitation, but I mean, it's impressive though. You know, I mean, I don't want to discount it because, you know, it rides well, very well. So yeah, I mean, it is impressive what Waymo has been able to do with, you know, their sensor suite and compute and their approach. I would liken kind of, yeah, right now it's just kind of going a little too fast for my comfort, you know? It was going up a hill But did it really need to go that fast? It's just like 5 miles per hour too fast. And plus the there's like all these like cones. There was a pedestrian. A human would go 5 or 10 miles slower than that. Yeah, it just kind of goes a little too fast for my liking. I mean, the Tesla Robotaxi, in my opinion, would have treated that much more cautiously and much more human-like. All right, so one question people have is like about teleoperation. Like, where is Waymo taking me to? Okay, yeah, now, yeah, okay, there's a small road that it's taking me on. I'll show you what road this is. Okay. I guess it's is it a shortcut or something? Interesting why I took this road. Yeah, we could have just took a right, but it did this interesting shortcut in a way. Yeah, do you see? It kind of, yeah, bypassed the right turn at the signal light. So the question is, some people are asking, like, so is Waymo teleoperated? No, it's not teleoperated, meaning Waymo is driving itself in the car. Some people ask, so can Waymo be teleoperated in difficult situations? And the answer is actually not really. It's not really ever teleoperated in that sense where remotely another person's completely driving the car. Waymo came out with a blog post last year describing their what they call remote assistance system. And it's basically because of latency issues and challenges, like for example, if you're in a place with spotty internet, or you know, it's too risky to completely take over for a remote driver. So what Waymo does is they will obviously send, you know, all the video feeds that they have as real time as possible, and then they'll get feedback from a human in difficult situations, right? So, you know, basically the car will ping a human, and the human will then give feedback, like suggestions on where to go, what to do, or what the situation is. And the car will use that feedback, not necessarily take it as like a command, because maybe the situation has already changed, right, a half a second later. So it'll just take that into consideration to make its decisions. So that's kind of, you know, I'm sure Waymo has a few other, you know, options. Like, for example, it could force it to pull over or do some other things. But generally speaking, yeah, what Waymo calls is the Waymo driver is the car on board, or the AI on board. And that's what's making the decisions on driving. And when it needs help, it'll ping remote assistance. A human will give feedback. And I would imagine probably Tesla's approach is similar right now. I mean, if Tesla wanted to do real-time teleoperation, they would need some big or some really, you know, interesting Starlink gig on the car, right? They would have to have basically internet all the time. But then, what if you're under like a bridge, or what if you're like under trees and your internet, you know, is spotty and you can't really control the car remotely? There's just too many question marks to successfully remotely teleoperate a car. So I would imagine Tesla's doing something similar where they have different features. They can give feedback to the car. They have different, you know, functions they can operate, like let's say just pull over, whatever, but the car is making decisions. All right, Waymo's gonna drop me off here. Right, this will be the second robotaxi of the day. Right, so I'm gonna turn this. Makes it a little quieter if I turn up the temperature. I'm gonna do actually 72. So I left my mic that connects to my phone in my car, my original destination. So I need to go back. So it's about a 13-minute drive back, and I'll get that and maybe continue with some more drives.
But yeah, if you look at this compared to the Waymo, so much more cleaner, sleeker, modern interface. I mean, the Waymo has an edge right now in the sense that they don't have the driver, so it's a little bit, or the monitor, so it's a more comfortable experience where you don't have anyone else in the car. But I give Tesla the edge in terms of its driving is just much more human-like. You know, it just slows down in the right spots, doesn't, you know, go overly too fast. I think Tesla's really made a lot of strides in the past 6 months or so. It feels like with Tesla's FSD, every 6 months is just, you know, a big jump up. And I think it's just gonna be like that for, you know, the next 1 to 2 years. We're gonna see just a big, big jump. I think by the end of this year, you see another big jump, and then you're gonna see, probably next year, I think people are gonna be very, very shocked and surprised to see how good FSD becomes. Also, by next year, sometime, probably, I don't know exactly when, but we'll have hardware 5, we'll have much bigger neural nets, Tesla will have much more data, and this is gonna be a completely different performance by Tesla's FSD. So I think that's something not to discount, is the continual improvement Tesla is seeing. Now, I've been, you know, driving these FSD beta builds since like the early days. I think it was version 9 or so. Yeah, I was just texting James Dalma, and he was like reflecting back on when I took him on a ride with the version, I think V9 or something, back in the day when I first got FSD beta city streets. But yeah, Tesla's come a long way. Every, you know, again, 6 months, it just takes a huge leap forward. And it's quite impressive what Tesla's been able to do. See, that was a pretty impressive move right there. Just went across the street through traffic. The way it handles these streets too, it just feels more human. Like a Waymo would just kind of go a little too fast through these streets. It just is not, I would say, a little too robotic, or just too, like, I don't know. I think comparing Waymo to Tesla right after each other, you could see Tesla's much more nuanced, has a better feel, right, of driving like a human. All right, here we are. This is the third robotaxi of the day. All right, so I have my microphone back on my phone now, so I got some better quality here. So yeah, I was just looking back at my old emails and reflecting back on Tesla's FSD program. And it's been 3 years, four years actually. It was July 2021 when I got V9, version 9 of FSD beta city streets. And so it's been a quite a long journey testing Tesla's FSD beta builds since then. And I tweeted, or I posted on X, that every 6 months or so, I've noticed like a big performance boost, like a huge jump in performance. And I think there's several factors. One is, you know, Tesla is improving their neural nets and the data they input into those neural nets. So for example, the amount of data, the quality of data, all of that is rapidly increasing. And then the size of the neural nets is rapidly increasing too. So you've just got a lot of just ways to boost the performance, right, of the cars. And I think initially when there's a boost, there's like a lot of things to work out, a lot of kinks and bugs and you might see two steps forward, one step back, and then by the time, like, you know, they spend 3 or 4 months on that build, it gets really good, and then they, you know, they're working on the next huge performance boost, which is, you know, just a bunch of data improvements, the quality, the quantity, the type of the neural nets, the size of the neural nets, all of that, the methods that they use. And they're constantly tweaking, like, how much they can fit on, you know, the FSD computers, the how large neural nets they can fit on the inference side. And so you've noticed this pattern over the years, right? Like, yeah, every 6 months or so, there's been like big boosts in performance. I think we're going to continue to see that. I don't see that slowing down. And for Tesla to already have gotten to place where, you know, the FSD can pretty much drive around by itself. And we haven't seen, you know, a lot of bad drives since Robotaxi launch. And we've had probably like hundreds of drives recorded. And I think this is a huge bullish, I think, sign here, because in the next 6 months, we're going to see Tesla's FSD just be radically that much better. And again, in another 6 months. And that's pretty much, you know, the scaling laws of AI, where, you know, you throw more compute, more data, better data, all that stuff, and bigger neural nets, and you get better performance. And that's what Tesla has been able to follow, especially recently when they went end to end. And so, yeah, I think this is just the beginning. You know, it's very exciting to see what Tesla's doing here. What we're seeing here, Tesla driving by itself through city streets in Austin, right, without a driver in the seat. This is like the early days. Within 6 to 12 months, I think Tesla's system is gonna be radically better. And here's the thing, it's getting to the point where critical safety interventions are so rare that, you know, how do we really know that it's better, right? And I think this is gonna be through thousands of miles, right, of driving, that we're gonna see it's just interventions are super, super rare, and they get more rare over time. So this is important, because this also will determine how fast Tesla can scale. And I think if they're already at this place where they're able to roll out in a limited geofenced area already, this means in 6 months and in 12 months and 18 months, they're going to be able to probably roll this out in a much bigger area. The question is kind of, what is their rollout plans? And I think you've just got to follow the kind of like the roadmap of the past into the future, meaning every 6 months, right, the system improves so much that there's a huge jump, and that allows you to do so many more things. And so I think in 6 months time, we're gonna probably, I don't know exactly when it'll happen. Might be within 2 or 3 months, but it might be 6 months. But I would imagine in 6 months, we get rid of the safety monitor, and we have expansion into some other cities without the safety monitor. But again, it's like Tesla will be ultra cautious, because again, just wait 6 months and your system is like that much better and that much safer. And so Tesla is not necessarily in this huge rush to rush out something that isn't ready. They're gonna put out something that they feel confident in, and they're gonna be extra cautious about it as they roll it out. But again, they've got the scaling laws of AI on their side, right? Every 6 months, you know, things are just gonna get that much better. They've got lots of stuff in their pipeline too, right? Tesla's going a lot into simulation data. You've got the AI 5 computer coming up. So there's a big pipeline of improvements in the next couple of years for Tesla's FSD as well. All right, we're approaching my drop-off spot. This is a local park. All right, I've called a regular Uber. Wanted to ask the Uber driver what their opinion on Waymo here.
Waymos and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm comparing Waymo, Tesla Robotaxi, and Uber. So do you see a lot of Waymos around here, Austin?
Yeah, especially downtown.
Downtown? Like, do they make it harder for you to, like, get rides? Because I know there's so many Waymos, right?
I would feel like that, yeah, downtown.
Yeah. Because especially, like, these short rides, I feel like over half the time I get a Waymo or something, you know?
Really?
I don't know.
This is probably my second week of Ubering.
Okay.
So I've ridden in Waymos more than I've noticed them, like.
Okay.
But, yeah, I can see that. They're definitely, everywhere I go downtown, one's either two cars in front of me or right in front of me.
Yeah.
And while they are smooth, I do see how if someone was like full-time Ubering, how it could definitely hurt their income.
Yeah, I see. Makes sense. All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, David, you have a good day.
All right, do. All right, I called Waymo.
Heading to 1905 South 1st Street. Please make sure your seatbelt is fastened. For any questions, press the call support button to speak with a rider support agent.
All right, this is our second Waymo of the day. I've done two robotaxis and a regular Uber. So yeah, talking with that Uber driver, he's a new Uber driver, just like 2 weeks or so. He didn't really have strong feelings for or against Waymo, but I did have this, like, oh my gosh, there was this big stop there. Wow, what was going on there? Huh, I must have seen something, but yeah, it was like going under a little bit of a bridge. Yeah, I think it's a little bit confused right now. Waymo doesn't know exactly how to get out of here. It's going backwards. Okay, so it's gonna go back to where it came from. Yeah. Interesting. It was a little bit of an abrupt stop, but I mean, that's what it is. So anyways, yeah, the whole tension is, it's kind of like the innovator's dilemma. So the more you bring in Waymo, let's say into an Uber app, it's competing against human drivers, right? And so the human drivers will get less and less enthusiastic and optimistic about the future of Uber for humans, because it's like the writing is on the wall, right? I mean, they're just, it's obvious. Waymos are gonna just increase, etc. Human drivers are gonna be less in demand. So Uber drivers, are they really gonna be excited? No. And then less and less people are gonna sign up, right, to be Uber drivers. But that's like the big thing about Uber. They need recruiting, they need new drivers, because they have like a lot of drivers always, you know, quitting or moving on. So they need recruiting for new drivers. And it's not just in the city, it's like to get coverage in like the suburbs and places around outside of the city, they need a good amount of people to join the network. But if humans are less optimistic about the future of Uber for humans, less people will drop off. That means their service for, you know, outside the city will decrease. And so you might actually see a deterioration over time of the number of human drivers outside the city for Uber, and the quality of the service. I mean, wait times increase, etc., costs more. That might be the cost of doing business with Waymo for Uber. But what do you do if you're Uber? Do you like resist and not let Waymo on your network? But you know Waymo's the future, so you have to let Waymo in, but it's gonna destroy your human driver network. So you've got this big innovator's dilemma. So, okay, let's play this out. You let Waymo into your Uber network, your human drivers start to leave your system, now you're more and more dependent on Waymo. What's in it for Waymo? Why can't they just do their own app like they have in some other cities? Why do they need Uber, right, over time? Like, let's say they achieve a certain level of penetration, they just create their own app, leave Uber, and then Uber is left with nothing, right? Left with barely any human drivers and barely any autonomous drivers. Now, there might be the case where, you know, you might think that, oh, a lot of other players will have autonomous cars and Uber can facilitate a network of various autonomous players, but I just don't see that. I think autonomous driving is extremely difficult. It can be extremely expensive. And because it's a data and network play, I think it's a winner takes most market. And so I just don't see a ton of players. And that's where Uber just doesn't have, I think, the brightest future. They're really stuck in a place. And I think they probably should have gone all in with autonomous driving early on, which they tried. But you know, they gave up and sold it off. So yeah, they're in a rough place. They're kind of in a place where technology is gonna hammer them, but they don't own the technology or have the technology themselves, right? So I just don't see what they have to offer going in the future. Some people might argue, oh, Uber's got the network, right? They got the network effects, they got the app and all the logistics and all this stuff. But no, it's about usage. For example, if Tesla Robotaxi is able to deliver a cheaper ride at density and shorter wait times, let's say, and let's say here in Austin, right, downtown or Austin or this area, people are going to use it. They want better service, right? Cheaper, better service. They're going to use it. Tesla will get the network effects. They will get the usage. Uber's advantage only exists when they have the most riders, the shortest, you know, wait times, and all of that. But if that's not the case, right, their advantage disappears. I think that's why it's a good move for Tesla not to have tried to buy Lyft or Uber. I think that's a ridiculous suggestion some people have made in the past. There's no need for Tesla to buy a Lyft or Uber, right? They just create a better product that's like basically, you know, multiple times better than the existing product, and the usage will come because they're the only ones that can deliver it at that cost and at that quality of service. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how this all plays out.
You're here. Please make sure it's clear before exiting.
All right, I just called another Tesla Robotaxi. This is, I think, number 3 Robotaxi today. All right, I'm adjusting the temperature, so it's a little bit more quiet in here, so you guys can hear me better. Yeah, this will be a short ride. I found this place here in South Austin. It's called Prototype Vintage Design. I have no idea what it is, but the name sounds intriguing, so we'll check it out. Yeah, there's something just refreshing about the Tesla Robotaxi compared to Waymo. If you look at this, like, check out the clean, modern, sleek, minimalist, you know, inside. Waymo just feels like an old, I don't know, legacy car to me. Inside, at least. I can't wait till a Cybercab comes out. I mean, that is going to be nice, right? Without a steering wheel. Okay, we've got this car coming up in the lane. Tesla pulls over perfectly so far. Let's see what happens. Yeah, goes on the right, lets this other car pass by, and goes around. Yeah, it's like that maneuver was perfect. It's just like what a human would do. No hesitation, no jerkiness. And here is my drop-off spot. Oh, we got an interesting situation. Okay, the UPS car is coming very, very close to us. If I was Robotaxi, I would be going back a couple feet. But yeah, but I guess the UPS driver is okay with parking like that. Yeah, decently well done. Yeah, Tesla Robotaxi's off and about.
All right, I've called the Waymo again. We'll see how it goes.
Heading to Starbucks. Please make sure your seatbelt is fastened. For any questions, press the call support button to speak with a rider support agent.
All right, so we've called another Waymo via Uber, right? So in Austin, there's no separate Waymo app. You've got to call it through Uber, but you can't really select a Waymo. You just select it. Select your destination, and then if it matches you with a Waymo, it asks you, are you okay with the Waymo? And then you say yes, and it comes to you. So it's it's a little bit, I don't know, clunky, where you can't really choose if you want, like, you know, Waymo. I guess you could deny you don't want a Waymo, like reject it, and then it'll pair you with a human driver. But anyways, we're headed to Starbucks here, pretty close by. Just another chance to ride. I think each ride I'm picking up a little bit, you know, more stuff. I've been thinking, this is a pretty busy part of Austin. It's not like as busy as downtown, but like South Congress, you know, this street called South Lamar. And I think the potential is, if there's a lot of density of robotaxis, there will be people who just say, forget it, I don't need a car anymore, right? Because if you can get a robotaxi within like 3 or 4 minutes all the time, pretty much, then you can avoid parking, avoid, you know, car ownership, all that stuff, and just go wherever you want with a robotaxi. I think a big part of it is just, you know, the wait time and also the cost. Right? If the wait time is high, over 10 minutes, and the cost is significant, then you're like, forget it, right? It's just better having a car. But I think robotaxi is the first real option, where because the hardware is cheap enough and the solution is so streamlined and efficient with just, you know, basically neural nets and cameras, and we have a chance of really bringing down the cost of rides super low, and also the density, right, of robotaxis very high, which will decrease the wait time. So you've got all of the elements for Tesla to make a pretty big splash in the ride-hailing market. Tesla's been working on this for a very, very long time. And yeah, I think they're getting close, very, very close to be able to, you know, see the fruit of their labor. Another question is, what will Waymo do when Tesla expands, right, their robotaxi rollout, and let's say offers cheaper rides, will Waymo have the demand that they need to really roll out more cars? Or there's a lot of question marks here. Waymo's thing is, it just costs a lot, right? Their cars just cost a lot. Okay, we are already here at our destination.
You're here. Please make sure it's clear.
All right, here's our last robotaxi of the day. Alrighty, we've got, a 13-minute ride back to the parking lot where I parked to start the day. Yeah, it's amazing how fast you get used to the robotaxi. Like, the first day I rode it was, like, pretty thrilling and exciting and everything, which it is. The second day, you know, is more calm and chill. And now third day is pretty much like commonplace. It's like kind of riding an Uber in a way, just get to one place to another. What's been interesting though is comparing the Tesla Robotaxi with Waymo and also with an Uber, a regular Uber, and thinking about like kind of what the ramifications going forward are. And yeah, it just seems like Tesla has all of the right pieces together. They've got, you know, the hardware, the software, they've got, I think, the best product, potential to scale. They're riding the laws, the scaling laws of AI. They're going fully end to end. They just made all the right decisions. And I think it's going to pay off. We're going to start to see, I think, Tesla shoot out in front eventually as they're able to scale. All right, if you notice the map, Tesla's not able to go on the freeway right now because that's not part of the geofenced area. So it has to go through kind of residential neighborhoods, take a little bit of a longer route to get to our destination. I wonder if Elon will disclose if the monitor has any extra controls, and if so, what they are. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, guys, we're at the end. I'm gonna see if I unbuckle a little too soon, what happens. It says fasten seatbelts. Okay. I'll buckle it back. All right. We're almost there. Okay, here it is. All right, so I'm back. That's the end of a pretty full day here. I did 3 or 4 robo-taxi rides, I think 3 Waymo rides and 1 regular Uber ride, and had a chance to really think about the differences, the challenges, the pros and cons of each. Yeah, it's an interesting field going forward, this ride-hailing autonomous taxi field. I think it's lots of questions of who's gonna scale, how are they gonna scale, how fast, what are the challenges going forward. And I think, yeah, it's interesting that Tesla has this out and about in Austin. Like, I can ride this anytime I want from 6 a.m. till midnight, any day of the week. And it's up and running, actually. And I think Tesla's gonna probably roll out more invitations for this. I think this is it's a super fascinating kind of rollout for Tesla. And so far, I've had like 13 or 14 rides in the past 3 days. Every single ride has been perfect, basically. I haven't really seen any mistakes. I think that bodes pretty well. And there are questions, like I still wonder, like with the safety monitor, like what kind of controls or what options they have. And yeah, lots of questions, like is the robotaxi software that, you know, similar? Is it version, I heard from someone saying this version 13.3, which is sounds, you know, logical. But does it have extra features? I'm sure it has, you know, different features, obviously, to enable robotaxi. But how far more advanced is it compared to what we have in our own cars? And a lot of interesting insights into Waymo as well, I think, and Uber. And I think there's a lot of tension going on, I think, in the future for Waymo to get into Uber and for Uber to invite Waymos on board, because it creates this kind of a tense rivalry with the human drivers. And so, yeah, Uber, what is Uber gonna do, right? They're kind of in a tough situation. But overall, every day I ride Tesla Robotaxi, I'm getting more and more confident and optimistic about its prospects. It just is a great experience, great product, end-to-end neural networks, super cheap hardware, and it works. And I think this is the scalable option that that Elon has been planning all along. So anyways, stay tuned for some more videos. The next couple of days, I'll have probably some special guests I might take along with me on some rides, and discussing more about the implications of Tesla's robotaxi network.